Welcome to the Planting Wildflowers podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Leonardis. I'm an entrepreneur, wife, mom, and stepmom. I'm super interested in people and perspectives, and I love how a good conversation can leave you feeling empowered. Sometimes even pique your curiosity to learn and grow. Mostly though, I love how really listening to one another opens up limitless opportunities for that beautiful sense of connection and community that we all love. Thanks for tuning in. Let's be inspired. All right, hello everyone and welcome. I am so excited today to be able to offer to you an opportunity to learn from an extraordinary guest, someone who is completely involved in health from all of the angles that you would hope a health practitioner would offer that to you. Her name is Megan Pennington. I'm going to allow her to sort of identify the work that she does, tell us a little bit about herself, and then we're going to dive wholeheartedly into an experience with Megan. We're going to immerse you in some discussion on immunity and let the conversation flow from there. This is such a relevant time, relevant topic with an absolute expert. So Megan, I couldn't thank you enough for being here with us today. People need your wisdom. They need your energy. And I'm a firm believer that unless we take time out of our day to immerse ourselves in these types of conversations, we continue to not know what we don't know. So questions won't come up that, you know, sort of hit the nail on the head when we're discovering solutions to some of the goals we have set for ourselves. So I'm thrilled to learn from you today. And I'm going to turn it over to you so you can tell the audience a little bit more about yourself.
Thanks so much for having me. So in a nutshell, I would call myself an integrative practitioner. So basically, I started out in traditional dietetics or nutrition, working in long-term care in a clinical setting. And what I found was that, you know, I would give these patients a diet to follow, and they didn't really get much better. And it was just it was a restricted kind of way of looking at things, kind of like a doctor would give a medication, I would give a diet, and it didn't coincide with what I really wanted to do, and it wasn't getting a lot of results. So I started my own practice and started integrating stress reduction and looking at how people are sleeping and how their foods are impacting their digestion, not just from a nutrition standpoint, but how they're actually digesting and tolerating those foods. And it opened up this whole world of exactly what you said, like we don't know what we don't know. So dietetics didn't teach me all of these other factors that come into how someone feels in their body, and that totally impacts how they digest food and tolerate food. So even from a nutrition standpoint, there were these other factors that were so important, and I wasn't taught. So I had to learn all of this as I went, and I ended up getting clients that had a laundry list of symptoms, from body pain to headaches to digestive issues for sure, but sleep disturbances and mental health issues and all of these things. And I didn't have a solution for them. Like I was, okay, let's try this diet. It didn't work, right? There was so much going on. So I had to find a solution for them, because these were the people that were coming to me. And so I had to find that approach that would address all of these issues. So that's what I've dedicated my career to. And that's how I ended up an integrative practitioner, because I had to integrate all these different pieces.
I love this. And specifically, you love to work with food sensitivities. Now, can you explain a little bit about what that is? Because we often hear terms like I'm gluten intolerant, or you have a lactose intolerance. And I think somehow, somewhere along the line, the messaging on some of those quote unquote intolerances or sensitivities has been muddled. So maybe you could shed some light on what they actually are and how they relate to things like our immune system.
Yes. So generally in the field of food intolerances, there's a lot of misnomers going on and a lot of miscommunication. So there are food allergies, which is an IgE-mediated reaction. It's a very specific immune pathway where you get anaphylaxis, closing up of the throat. It's basically in the upper torso level and head area. And it's very fast, usually very obvious. So people usually know if you have a food allergy or not. That's not the questionable area or the gray area. When it comes to food intolerances, usually what that means is that you're not digesting it properly. So a lactose intolerance is we don't have the right enzyme or enough of the enzyme to digest that sugar properly. So we get digestive issues. So that's an intolerance. And then a sensitivity is an immune reaction like an allergy, but it's not IgE mediated, meaning that it's not going to cause the same symptoms. It's usually a delayed reaction. It's more subtle. You don't notice it right away. So often people have many of these sensitivities going on that have kind of developed over time, and they don't know. They just know that in general they're tired and they're not digesting well, and they have body pains once in a while, and they have headaches once in a while, but they're not making the direct relation between what they're eating every day and this subtle response that's building up over time. So that's where I found a real power in my practice, is when I identified a tool that could really easily identify these triggers that people are experiencing. So that the food and chemical triggers that are triggering this immune response that are very subtle, that people aren't noticing, because when they addressed these, when we identified them and removed them, even just for 10 days, their whole body would shift. Their whole biochemistry, physiology, mental state, everything would shift so dramatically that's where I've really put my focus, because it seems to be the missing piece in so many of these stories where these health problems just keep progressing over time.
This is true. I know I can think, I'm visually picturing people that I've had these conversations with before. And I think it's fascinating to hear from you and begin to learn precisely what food sensitivities are, like literally have them defined as you just did for us, and then apply them to what we might be experiencing for ourselves. Because I have a feeling that many people are experiencing these. Now, my question to you is this: immunity, you mentioned can be compromised when we are continuously ingesting foods that create this sensitivity. But many, many of us have become so conditioned to just evolve ourselves to this place where we just accept the symptoms of our everyday. So you mentioned headaches and feeling tired and things like that. Like that is the norm these days. I think we almost resign ourselves to the fact that that's just who we are, how we're meant to feel. And what you're suggesting is that our immune systems are expressing themselves in the way of these things like headaches and, as we mentioned before, fatigue. And we are literally causing the problem by the food we're choosing to put in our mouths. So how would someone for themselves at home right now, prior to engaging in any kind of medical advice, health advice of any kind, how would they self-diagnose themselves to the point where they knew they needed some support outside of what they were already doing?
So the most common symptoms I see, and of course, because the immune system is so integrated into every body system and cell and tissue, you can literally put any symptom that you have, identify it back to an immune system response. Like any symptom could be an indication of an immune system response, not necessarily, but could be. But the most common ones that I see, so the ones that can really help someone self-identify as, okay, maybe this is what's going on, is body pain. So any kind of pain, whether it's headaches, muscle aches, arthritis, back pain, any kind of pain, that is a pure sign of inflammation. That's what causes pain, is inflammation. So when the immune system responds, like if you think of cutting, if you have a wound on your hand, it's painful because it's inflamed, it's red. So you can equate that pain, you can visualize pain as inflammation. And it's the immune system that causes that inflammation. It's a protective mechanism against the wound, against fights bacteria against those types of things when you cut yourself. So it's a desired reaction, but when we're consuming these foods every day that's causing this low-grade inflammation, that inflammation causes pain, it causes tissue damage, it causes physiological effects that we don't want on a continuous basis. So pain is a big one. Also, digestive issues. When we have an immune response, it changes the way our smooth muscle contracts. So our smooth muscle makes up our vessels, but also our intestinal tract. And so this can appear to someone as constipation. So it kind of stops the peristalsis movement. So you can be very constipated and bloated and backed up and feeling like you're not digesting well. Or it can look the exact opposite, like diarrhea. It could just kind of push everything out. So it goes in either direction, sometimes both, and that would be called IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. So that's another big indication, is digestive issues. And then the third one is mental state. So it impacts our biochemistry in a way that our hormones and our brain biochemistry will also be altered. So if you're very tired a lot, or you're moody, and it's all sporadic, it probably has a contributing factor in what you're doing on a daily basis, and food is a big one.
See, this is what I hope so many people will share this conversation with others, because it really is, in its simplest form, up to us, and you know, as it relates to how we feel on the day to day. Now, it's challenging for a lot of people to shift from the way they operate on the day to day to a better lifestyle. And I know simplicity has got to be the place for everyone to start if we're going to see real and sustainable changes in this way. I know right now, with just the circumstances that we find ourselves in worldwide through this pandemic, I know that the focus is on immunity. How do I boost my immunity? How do I prevent me, myself, and everyone else around me from falling ill? And so immunity has become like this hot button topic wherever we go. And in fact, everywhere there's this immunity spin on just about everything. But if we had to boil it down to the simplest possible approach, you know, keeping in mind that the next few months, as we get deeper into the fall and deeper into winter, accessibility can be challenging for some people. Do you have recommendations that would allow somebody, a place to start, like a great place just to start? Tell us about that, because I think everyone is really leaning in at this point to that kind of advice.
The best place to start, and thankfully this has been supported by lots of research, so it's not just my opinion. This is, you can go, like on my website, for example, I did an article on it that lists out all the research, so someone can really verify what I'm saying. But it's vitamin D. So vitamin D has been shown to really impact our response to viruses, bacteria, and it really helps to regulate the immune response. So it's not that we just want to boost it. We actually want to regulate it. And the difference is that when we have a overactive immune response, that's when we start getting complications with viruses and especially COVID, because they've noticed that it's a cytokine storm, they call it, where it's an overactive and inflammatory response that actually causes the complications. You can have a virus and just heal from it and it's fine. But if you get really bad complications, it's usually related to this cytokine storm. And so we want to regulate that response. And by vitamin D is a key player in that. So vitamin D helps us to regulate that response, so our immune system is responding appropriately, not overzealously or underzealously. It's doing its job properly. And that's what we really want. And that's actually what addressing the immune system in general, that's the goal, is that we want to regulate it, not necessarily boost it with all these different supplements and that, and kind of not knowing what you're doing. That's usually not what you kind of want to do. You want to support it. You want to support it in its natural function. Its natural function. So that's the approach that I would take, and vitamin D is the best place to start because it's a key player. And there's other factors. Sleep is important. Relaxation is important. Making sure you're not stressed out all the time is very important, because all of these things impact the immune response. But vitamin D as like an outside helper is really the the best place and the cheapest and easiest place to start as well.
I love that tip because that's something that is well within everyone's ability to access. Even if you, you know, are not overly mobile, there are so many great sites that you can order really high quality products, you know, vitamin D included. So you could begin on a journey to wellness just through that simple step, therefore boosting your immunity. I love what you said. You're sort of painting this picture of how the immune system is linked to so many other systems. And I think sometimes we don't give any credit to the immune system sort of being the forefront of that, because, you know, if we're poor sleepers, as an example, we think that we're catching colds and typically unwell because we're not sleeping well. And there is some truth to that, but are we putting the cart before the horse type of thing? If we were to nurture our immune system, would sleep be a natural result? A good night's sleep would be the natural outcome in a situation like that. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so it's reciprocal. So lack of sleep will inhibit the immune system, and an inhibited immune system will alter your sleep. So they're working together. One fluctuation is going to fluctuate the other, and it works both ways.
Okay, I think that's a thing that we need to take a look at a little bit more often. And therefore, you know, you've touched on a couple other topics as well. Mental wellness being tied into that also. I mean, we are in a situation right now, and maybe we always have been, and it's just simply being amplified at this point. Mental wellness has become one of those topics that is at the forefront of every conversation, it seems. We're hearing data and statistics, although we'll come back to that in a moment about the statistics. But we're hearing about the increase in mental wellness issues. And I just sort of would love to hear from you how, again, the immune system, and you've mentioned this before, but let's go back to this point about how the immune system, when it's strong, when it's supportive, is also very supportive of not just our physical wellness, but our mental wellness.
Mm-hmm. So it's multifactorial. The first way that it does this is by having a regulated immune response. You also have a regulated cortisol response and other hormone responses. And then the hormones, when they're regulated, they're regulating the biochemistry in the brain. So everything is tied into the other. When you have one that is out of whack, it throws everything else out of whack. So that's the one way that supporting any system in the body will also support the others. And that happens for the immune system, our vascular system, our mental system, our endocrine system, all of it. They all work hand in hand. And the other really important thing to know that many people don't know is that when the immune system responds to something, whether it's a bacteria, a food, stressors, some other stressor in the body, the immune cells release what's called mediators. And these mediators they don't stay kind of in one place. They go everywhere. So if you have mediators, like there's prostaglandins, leukotrienes, cytokines, remember I said that cytokine storm is implicated in complications. These cytokines move to the brain. They move to different parts of the body. They can cause pain. They can cause inflammation, but they can also cause biochemical changes. So when it moves to the brain, and there's that biochemical change happening in the brain, your moods get offset, your mental state gets offset. And so that's how it really ties into the immune system and how basically removing that response or decreasing it will help you have a stable state of mind.
Critical these days. It's good. I mean, this thinking in such a way where we cannot separate mind, body, and spirit is absolutely the way forward in terms of our overall health and wellness. And I think as I was learning more about you, that might have stood out as my number one favorite thing. There were many things. I think the work that you're doing is fabulous, but I'm very aware these days, just from the people that I have the privilege of chatting with, that when they seek medical support or health advice of any kind, most of the experiences, and by most I mean like 99.9% of the time, there is something lacking, and that comes in the form of the physician or the practitioner missing the opportunity to explore the individual on a holistic level. So, you know, having a conversation about their emotional well-being and, you know, peeling back that layer, peeling back their current mental state, you know, and getting a clear understanding because of this relationship between all of these pillars. One diagnosis is probably a symptom of another diagnosis that goes undiagnosed. Therefore, the root cause is left behind. So can you tell the listeners what your specific approach is like? Because you are very bold in identifying for your listener that you will find the root. You will help them find the root, and therefore a positive outcome will result. So take us through what an experience with you is really like.
If there are a lot of systemic symptoms going on, I usually do a food sensitivity test to knock that out of the park right away, because what I see time and time again, and I've tested hundreds of people, is that when they have this list of 10 different kinds of symptoms, congestion, body pain, headaches, digestive issues, eczema, psoriasis, acne, like you name it, if they have a bunch of these symptoms, then we knock that out of the park. And usually 80% of those symptoms will resolve just by doing that one thing.
80%.
And then 80%, it's phenomenal. That's why I specialize in it, because I'm like, this, you can't get this from a doctor. Like, unless they give you a medication, which is not really addressed anything, it's just covering it up. Like, that's unheard of. So it's phenomenal, and it's life changing. And then when that happens, when we remove that most common root cause, then we see what's left over. Because if there's still anxiety, or there's still depression, or there's still some digestive disturbance going on, or there's still some body pain, then we know, okay, we took care of the inflammation, we took care of that major root. Now, what is underlying that? What else is happening? And then we can go into the emotional states. We can go into, I'm thinking of this past client that I had. She was a poster child for food sensitivities. All of her symptoms blaringly said food reaction. So we did the tests and everything, and I expected the typical 80% reduction in her symptoms, and she didn't budge at all. And this was the first time this had ever happened. And when we dug deeper, what it ended up being was, since a breakup several years before with a very important person in her life, she equated that breakup to not being deserving of love. And she equated that not being deserving, she extrapolated that outward to not being deserving of being healthy, of being like alive and well. And so there was a huge subconscious block there that she was not even aware of, that was completely inhibiting the normal process of healing to take place. And it's so amazing, because once she dealt with that, and it took a while, then the pieces started falling into place, and she ended up emailing me a couple months later and was like, wow, you have no idea the journey that I've been on. So that's where the spiritual piece comes in, is that often what we're experiencing, there's a reason. There's a reason why you're waking up with all of these issues, and you're like, damn, like something needs to change. And that's exactly what it's there for. It is to uncover something, whether it's food, whether it's something deeper emotionally related. It's probably both, but some people, you know, just want to do one and not the other, and that's totally fine too. We go with where someone is at and how far they're wanting to go. It like there's purpose and there's opportunity everywhere in this. So I've never seen someone that didn't get healing on multiple levels just by starting to dig into why this is going on. And that's why I do this. It's like, it's nice to heal on a physical level, but what really gets me is the underlying levels, because that's where we really grow and we really change. And that the health piece is just a doorway to that deeper shift.
Yeah, that's who we really are, is who we are on the spiritual level. So she had she really didn't identify, she didn't present that way in the beginning. We really thought it was all related to food.
Yeah, she was a pretty reserved person. So she was kind of just focused on, I want help with my diet. I think there's something diet related here. And so I respected that, because I don't push where someone doesn't want to be pushed. And so, but it ended up having to come out, because she was like, I really want to deal with this. So she had to go deeper. And I think that's why, if you look at it from a more spiritual level of why didn't that work, it was because she was being given the opportunity to dig deeper, and had it worked, she wouldn't have. So it presented itself as okay, well, if this is what it takes to get you to go there where you really need to go, then that's how it's going to happen.
See, I think that's beautiful. And I think that gap that I talked about before, where people are visiting with their health providers and not getting an opportunity to have that experience, is where we miss out on resolving the issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I could, I'm thinking again of a couple people I know who have in fact had intolerances or sensitivities to food, and when their issues were not resolved, it was sort of hands up in the air, nobody knows what's wrong with me, I'm done with this, I just continue and I just forge ahead thinking that this is the way I live the rest of my life, when a solution to supporting immunity and in solving digestive issues and solving body pains and mental wellness improvements, that it all exists if we're willing to peel back the layers a little bit. There are very few practitioners like yourself who are willing to take people on that journey, though. So your work, I'm sure, is abundantly rewarding from that perspective.
Very much.
What if a client were to come to you and knew on some level that their root cause was in fact on the spiritual level? Are you able to cater your experience with them so that you begin spiritually and maybe end on the physical level?
Yep, I offer a program actually it's called the Full Spectrum Healing, where we integrate the food sensitivity testing if it looks like there are some food related issues or immune system related issues, which there often are, and then we incorporate or encapsulate the other modes of healing or the other levels of healing right into a complete structure, like, so that it leads you through a process of dealing with your inner children, the experiences in the past that have, like a breakup or something that has left you feeling scared on some level to go out into the world, or to it creates like an inner tension or a stress that perpetuates, and everybody knows that from a psychological level, if you have a job that's very stressful and you're constantly stressed, this is going to create health problems. So that we just intuitively know. But it's the same thing on a subconscious level. If it could be more subtle, but if there's a constant stress there because we were very much traumatized in the past by an experience or multiple experiences, that is creating, maybe more slowly but surely, a stress response in the body that is going to translate into altered physiology and biochemistry at some point, and it's going to come up as noticeable symptoms. So for sure I have that in place, because it happens often where there is an underlying emotional, spiritual, energetic past experience type of trauma that needs to be resolved. And so there's a process to go through that's very, very simple, but very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's really no going forward unless you're able to sort of look the issue right in the eye. And when it's on a spiritual level, I think a lot of people need the support of someone like yourself to sort of guide that process, because none of us are taught how to work through things like that. On a physical level, we're taught things like, diet and exercise. And while that is sort of all over the place in terms of recommendations, there's virtually nothing in place for caring for ourselves on the spiritual level. And that has obviously been part of what has led us as a global community to this place we're at with regards to mental wellness. So I'm thrilled to hear that you're working through that. Can I ask you, when you speak about this type of interaction with clients, does it involve things like meditation, yoga? Are there other elements that you can share with us that are included in this really revolutionary experience?
Do you mean things that they can do, or what my personal approach is?
Maybe a little bit of both. I think there's much to be learned on both sides of that.
So emotional healing and spiritual healing and energetic healing comes from so many different places. So meditation is one, hypnosis is one, NLP is another. I do matrix therapies, which is extremely powerful as well. And it incorporates or kind of takes the best pieces of multiple methodologies and combines it into one. So that's why I really like it. And it's very effective, which I like. I like getting things done in like the least amount of effort and time. So people can be reassured that like this does not take months. This takes weeks. And it's very powerful. But like from a standpoint of someone wondering like, where can I start or what can I do on my own? Anything that makes you feel joy. And I know it's so cliche and it sounds ridiculously simple, but really as soon as you feel joy, whether it's meditating because you turn off the mind, that's perfect. Whether it's doing yoga, whether it's going out in nature for a walk, whether it's sleeping with your child, like whatever it is, if you feel that sense of peace, you are literally putting your biochemistry and your hormones into a healing state. It's the parasympathetic nervous system. So you are doing yourself a world of good just by transitioning into that state as often as you can and as long as you can. And there are tools and structures in place that can help someone do that. But if they just want somewhere to start and they want to do it right now, look for your joy, look for the things that bring you fulfillment and peace, and that's going to shift your biochemistry right there.
This is something literally that every person on the planet can do, because there are no tools required for this. This is you tapping into your own natural resources, and I love that you share this with clients, because we've said it a couple times now, it's the gap missing in our healthcare approach right now. So this vision of complete care that you offer is really something that the world needs. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, just because I'm super curious from an integrative health practitioner's perspective. We have found ourselves in unbelievably abnormal times, and everyone is experiencing this in a little bit different way. I would love to just sort of get your feedback, and you can carry us in whatever direction feels right for you, but your perspective on things like the COVID-19 vaccine that is, you know, being rushed to market. I'm advertising my bias already. masks and distancing, all of those things are having an effect. Positive? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Negative? I don't know. But share your perspective with us, because you do, approach things very holistically. And I think we could all gain a lot from your insight here.
Mm-hmm. So my opinion is that focusing on the distancing and the masks and vaccines is a real unfortunate missing of an opportunity to be healthier, because the missing link there is that what everyone is focusing on are these external things that are going to protect us, when we have immense power in regulating our own immune system and building up our own resistance to getting sick. And we're totally missing the ball here. It's like the universe has passed us this ball of like, here's your opportunity to have nothing to do where you can focus on your health, and we're totally missing it. Like the government is completely missing it, not everybody. So that's my perspective on it. In terms of vaccines, what I want people to know, because I think a lot of people don't, is that there are adjuvants, like aluminum, for example, in vaccines which cause a heightened immune response. This is how they work to develop antibodies, is because you need the immune response to actually respond to a vaccine in order to build up the antibodies to protect yourself in the future. So these adjuvants are usually toxic on some level. That's why they inflame or why they overstimulate the immune system. And with relation to COVID, we don't want an inflamed body. We don't want an overstimulated immune response. That's where these complications come into reality. And so I would encourage people to be very careful when deciding whether or not to get vaccinated. Even the flu vaccine, which has been around a long time, and there's different ones, has been showing in research to increase your risk of getting sick with COVID. And this is why. And so there's that missing piece that I think a lot of people just don't realize. And so just be very careful. I'm never one to say one is better than the other, because usually two things each have pros and cons. So it's not a matter of saying this is good and this is bad, but it's just evaluate the benefit versus the risk. With the new, there's one COVID vaccine that is going to implicate itself in mRNA, which is our DNA, our process of DNA replication. And so you want to be very careful with that as well. If that ends up coming out to market and that becomes available, it's unprecedented. They have not been approved in the past to be able to manipulate mRNA. And so that is going to be something that doesn't have safety studies. It doesn't have a track record. And so, and that's just not like an aluminum toxicity that you can reverse. That's going to be something kind of permanent, an alteration to your DNA. So that I would also be very, very wary of.
Okay. And excuse me, as I understand it, these nanoparticles, and you can correct me if I'm saying this incorrectly, but once they're in the body, there is not a detoxification process like there is for other things, other injectables. Once you've said yes, you are committed to the results that emerge from taking this vaccine. Am I correct in that?
From what I understand, yes. Yeah. And so the research is new on it. There isn't a lot. So, but that just makes me even more wary. Like we want a track record. We want safety studies. We want long-term safety studies, not just 1 year and not just looking at certain things. Like they're not looking at autoimmune disease or things that would develop over time. They're looking at, did this person get sick within 3 weeks of getting the vaccine? That it's, right. it's not thorough. It's not thorough at all. So be very, very careful with that. That would be my recommendation. Okay. Is just be very aware that we don't really know. It's essentially going to be an experiment. Yeah, from what I can see.
Yeah. World's largest experiment. No, I really appreciate that feedback. It's very good of you to share your opinion on that. Sort of tied into that with then, who do you look to for information? Who are your mentors, so to speak? And, you know, I we mentioned before, a lot of the media and mainstream information that we're getting right now is very muddled. So it's easy to feel inspired by fear. And unfortunately we have to sort of dig through to find, information that, is valuable to us. So I'm curious who your mentors are, who your information sources are, where do you, apply any level of trust?
That's a great question. And one that I'm kind of like, so my mentors have changed over the years. What I tend to do is, I'm open to receiving information. So I kind of go at the world with this child mentality of like, I am open to learning, and I've always had that. And so what tends to come into my view are these opportunities to learn from different people. And so I never really stick to one mentor, because often I'll learn what I needed to from them, and then I move on to another and then another. So, so I've had many, but generally if I can kind of, instill some wisdom as to how to choose what information is valuable or not, anything mainstream that is kind of, you know, pushed by government and CBC and just like the even Facebook, like anything that's kind of a common narrative that looks like it's kind of being pushed, I try to just take it with a grain of salt. I might read a headline and go, okay, I've seen that, heard that before. Let's look for something else. And then in my body, I usually feel it. So if it feels fear-based, if it makes me constrict, I pretty much ignore it, because I don't want to be coming or living from a place of fear. I want to be coming and living from a place of empowerment and expansion. So I always tune in to whatever I'm reading and say, does this make me feel expansive? Does this make me feel like it's a positive influence on me, or is it a negative influence on me? And I use that with whoever I'm following, whatever research articles I'm reading, research is usually kind of objective, but whatever articles I'm reading, news, and whatever information is coming my way.
Megan, that is like the juiciest tip ever. I've done that in the past, but I'm so thankful for the reminder to be mindful of that feeling of constriction when information lands that way for you. And again, that's something that literally every person on the planet has the opportunity to do for themselves. So I think that tip is so invaluable. Thank you for that. Okay, so I have learned so much from you, first of all. So again, I want to thank you for spending your time with us, because, you know, once we expose these thoughts and we talk about solutions and we make connections, that's that expansive feeling that you were just referring to. Now someone hears this, and with any luck, it creates some curiosity and they begin to look in some new directions, maybe begin to consider things that were not previously part of their health routine. So for that, there's an immense amount of gratitude for what you've shared with us today. Can you let us know how we can be in touch with you, what programs you may have coming up, and let us know how the audience and listeners can just really stay connected to you? Because I'm certain that is something that they're going to want.
So my website is meganpennington.com, and I have a lot of free information there and a lot of articles that I've written videos also that really can be insightful for people that are just starting out and are kind of like, I don't really know where to start. I also offer a free 15-minute call with me. If someone's just like, I have all these questions and I don't know, and just kind of confused and overwhelmed, like let's get on a call. That's kind of that's why I offer it, because often people do arrive there and they're like, I don't even know if this is for me or what this is all about. And so that's why that's there. So utilize that. Otherwise, I mean, I post on Facebook and social media, but generally I try to get into connection with someone right away, because there's a magic that happens when you're speaking with somebody. I can usually dig right to the root within 10 minutes, and you'll never get that just by perusing through articles and websites usually. So that can be a very fast and efficient way to just kind of get to the crux of what needs to happen, and then just feel into whether it feels good or not, because sometimes people aren't ready, and that's fine. It opens their mind to something that they want in the future, but maybe not right then, and that's totally cool.
Yeah, I love that. I love that thought for sure. So with regards to social media, then, if someone were to seek you out in those spaces, are you Megan Pennington on both Facebook and Instagram?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, perfect. So it gives us lots of opportunities to reach out and find out more about you. I loved, as soon as you subscribe to you, that you get immediate access to that very, very valuable, very informative discussion. And I was blown away. I'm like, she's giving this to me already. So that is a beautiful intro to the type of person that you are and how your heart is definitely leading you to this space where information is at the forefront and healing is certainly the outcome. So I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, and I look forward to chatting with you again in the future. Thank you so much for your time today, Megan.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode, friends. Thank you for hanging out with us here at the Planting Wildflowers podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you again real soon. And in the meantime, if you would be so kind as to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with others, I'd be most grateful. We'll catch you again soon. Until then, take good care.